a million pounds.
Is this a wind-up? This has to be a wind-up.
Apart from the birth of my children, this is the best phone call I've ever received in my life.
This is what it sounds like when people win big with the National Lottery. Will you be next? The National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Streaming exclusively on Disney Plus.
Let's do this.
Say hello to the newest member of the Hulk family.
I'm Jennifer Walters.
I'm a lawyer who happens to be a Hulk.
In Marvel Studios' new original series, She-Hulk.
Your transformations are triggered by anger and fear.
Those are like the baseline of any woman just existing.
You're going to like her.
He doesn't mean that.
When she's angry.
Can we get some shots, please? It's an emergency.
Marvel Studios' She-Hulk, an original series now streaming exclusively on Disney Plus. 18 plus subscription required. T's and C's apply.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
John Scott, the All-Star man. John Scott, the family man.
Thank you for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott. Woo!
Yeah! Hey, everybody, welcome. Two dropping the gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Tim is here. I'm here. I'm up in Northport. Tim, you're still in North Carolina. How's it going that far south, Tim? How's your summer going?
It's good. It's hot down here. But I want to start off, before we get into the hockey stuff, about something that happened to me yesterday that I'm still kind of like frazzled about. So my neighborhood that I live in North Carolina, in the south end, There's a light rail that goes from like one end of the city to the other. It's like a subway, but it's smaller, quieter, and it's above ground. And it's right behind my building. And so on either side of it, for like a mile and a half, there's like a paved trail. People walk their dogs, exercise, ride their bikes. There's those rental Lime scooters that you can rent out like by the minute and with your app and everything. It's very busy. It's a lot of fun. And so I'm walking my dog, I don't know, 4 o'clock yesterday, just around the block. We're walking on the rail trail, they call it. And there's people like all day long, it's just busy. There's a family ahead of me with a little girl, and there's like five or six adults, and the girl's on a little tricycle. And so they're kind of like crowding. There's a big group and they're crowding around taking pictures of this little girl. And they're not really moving. So I have my dog, Levi, and we walk around them. So we're kind of going. So they're on the right, I'm passing them, and I see like this, I look behind me, there's no one right there. I see a guy in a scooter, he's a block or two down. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to walk quickly behind him and go back to the right. And as I do it, the guy in the scooter is still coming full speed. Like, he is not slowing down, and he's a business guy, like in a suit, coming from the downtown. So he's driving home from work on the scooter. And as he gets closer, he doesn't slow down. There's like 2 feet to the left of me. There's plenty of room for him to get by. He keeps on his straight path and slams into my shoulder.
No way.
And, yeah. And just, and like, not like, it was just like, almost like a hockey check, just boom. But neither of us, like, I just sort of twisted and then I looked over my shoulder at him because he's still going. He's going full speed. And I just give him like a glare, and he gives me a glare. He turns around, and I was like, okay. That was like, what a jerk, whatever. And the people next to me, this crowd that I was passing, all looked at me like, you okay? Like, they didn't say anything, but it was like, what the heck was that? And I was like, I gave him a shrug and kept walking. And whatever, don't think anything of it. Just like, okay, that guy was a jerk or whatever. Keep walking there, 10, 20 feet. Out of my peripheral, he comes in. He came back. He came back on the scooter still. And I got my headphone and he starts talking. I'm like, oh, I take it out. And I was like, what? And I'm thinking, okay, he came back to apologize. He goes, what's up, man? You don't watch where you're going? And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, you didn't see me coming? And I just like, I looked at him for a minute, and he starts talking about how I need to stay out of his way. And I'm not going to swear, but I go, are you out of your effing mind? And he was like, there's too many people here. Like, you can't, this is a man on an electric scooter going full speed and he hit a pedestrian and he's mad at me about it.
So a scooter, is it one of those, so he's like standing on a skateboard and it's got the peg in the front and he's holding on to it?
Yep. He's got a backpack on, coming home from work. And And he was, I was like, and he just starts going on and on about trying to tell me like where not to walk. And it's a crowd of people. You don't go full speed. Like you kind of navigate through. People do it all the time. Like there's people walking their bike, there's groups of people running. Yeah. If you're on something faster, you kind of have to slow down and wiggle through them. And then it was nuts. And so he's trying to talk to me and I was like, dude, you're out of your mind. I'm not talking to you. Like, see you later. And I just kept walking. And I think he said something again, but I put my headphones back in and just didn't turn around again. And then as I was sort of like, turned the corner, I could look over my shoulder and he's riding, but he's still looking back at me. And I was like, calm myself down. It's one of those situations where like the next hour you're like, oh, I wish I said this or did that or handled it better. But the whole thing was very shocking. I couldn't believe he was mad at me for that.
So what is this guy's measurements?
Probably a little shorter than me, like slim build. I mean, maybe athletic, but he wasn't like huge or anything.
Older?
Yeah, maybe like, yeah, late 30s. I'm guessing like the way that he reacted, I'm like, and this is a banking city. It's known as like a finance city. A lot of like investors and bankers and people that have like high intensity jobs. I'm bet he had a bad day or his portfolio's down, like, and that just like set him over the edge or something like that. You know, like it was way out of proportion the way that he was talking, and he was the one who hit me. And and like all night long last night, I'm like reliving in my mind, just saying cooler things back to him. But yeah, it was pretty funny.
People are so aggressive. It's amazing.
So strange. Yeah.
I've had people do that when I'm driving. They'll like come up beside me and just glare at you for no good reason, just because I'm trying to drive slower now. People don't like it in Traverse City. So they'll come up and glare at you and like, oh, you got to drive faster. And it's just like, what are we doing here? Why is everyone so angry? It's amazing. The people are just so angry all the time. So I just ignore them. But if they persist, I get right to the point. I'm like, we can pull over and take care of this. Yeah. So I don't want to do this back and forth where we just go back and forth. So I'm like, there's a parking lot right there. Should we or no? Okay, I'll see you later. Let's go on our way. Like, we're not going to make our lives any better by sitting here yelling at each other. I don't want to deal with this, but if you want to persist, I will finish this and we can just go on our ways. The hospital's that way. I'll go to the grocery store and we can just be done. So yeah. Good for you, Tim. Turn the shoulder. Turn the cheek. That's good. I like that. Wild stuff. North Carolina. Who would have thought? Crazy.
Yeah, and usually people down here are much more like friendly and nice to strangers than they are in the New England or Northeast or even Michigan. So it was very, very very surprising.
You almost threw your first closed fist punch. That would have been incredible. That would have been a podcast. That would have been acting. Not as epic as the Gudas interview. We got some good feedback, Tim, on the Radko Gudas interview. I wasn't sure how it went because he's just, you know, European, very just honest, but a current player. He's not going to tell you. It's so funny when we do these interviews, everybody, because the player we're interviewing will come on early and they'll stay late. So we'll talk a little bit beforehand. We'll catch up if I know him. If I don't know him, we'll do our introductions and we'll have a nice 5-minute conversation. Then when we stop recording, we'll have an even better conversation because we've already gone through the 40-minute podcast. And then I'll say some stuff like, yeah, that guy's brutal or this and that. You guys will be this. And they'll be completely honest. And all the stuff we talk about before and after, Tim and I always say, that was fantastic. Like, I wish that was on the podcast. But we can't share it because, you know, it's their personal feelings and they don't want to air their dirty laundry. So after we ended the podcast, it was great. He started giving us, you know, his opinions on the trade, the Florida Panthers as a whole, how they're going to be this year. And it was great, but I think we got positive feedback on a whole for the whole episode.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause I didn't think it was that great. I mean, they're all good and they're all like insightful and they have great moments. So, but I was like, that wasn't one of our stronger ones. And we got a couple of comments, like said it was one of the best ones we ever did, if not the best or top three. And I thought that was really surprising. So I have to go back and listen again, but I'm glad people enjoyed it. He's a cool guy, nice guy. It's always interesting thinking about just like the guys that you must have hated at different points, and now you just see him in a different light.
Could not stand him. Honestly, couldn't stand him. Tried to fight him all the time. Never, and rightfully so, he never said yes because I was in a completely – like if he's rolling around at 215, I outweighed him by 50 pounds, you know? So he had no business fighting me, but goodness gracious. Couldn't stand the guy. Now I like him. Seems like a pretty nice guy. Got four kids. really like that. Really like it's funny to see the reaction whenever I tell them I have seven. They're always just like, no, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. Because four is a lot, Tim. That's like people look at you sideways. You get four kids. I was at the farmer's market today and I was bombing around with six of them. Danielle was with the baby. She was coming back from church or whatever. She might have been feeding in the car. Like people are so rude. They go, are all these yours? Like, no, they're not. No, they can't be. They don't look. They're not all yours. I'm like, yeah. And same mom and everything. Like, isn't it amazing? Like, people just assume, like, different marriage. I picked one up, or they're friends, or they're just, I'm like, no, they're all mine. And they have the same mom, and we're married. You know, it's just like, it's so foreign to think that I am married and I have seven kids to the same woman. Whereas, like, 30 years ago, that would have been the norm. But it's just, things are different now. So everyone just assumes it's like, well, you must have gotten divorced and those are your old marriage and that's, she brought some kids in. It's like, no, they're all mine. So I don't know. But good. Yes. Radko Gudas, four kids. What were we going to say, Tim?
No, it's just funny. Like, you can think that when you walk by someone in the hallway or a building, or whatever, but like, why would they say it out loud? That's the strange, rude part. Like you said, like talking to a stranger about his family and children as if it's any of their business. It's just, that's bizarre.
Oh, people are they're bold. So bold. They go, you poor man, you, right in front of my kids. I'm like, no, I'm actually pretty blessed, pretty lucky here. Thank you. It's just amazing. Like, just and they think it's perfectly fine. I'm like, all right. And you're friendly and you're like, yeah, they're all mine. You know what? They're fantastic kids, so we're very happy. But
what was the one that the guy said to you at Costco like last year? Do you remember?
Yeah,
that?
He goes, you know, there's a way to prevent that, isn't there?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, yeah. I should have said, I guess I'm really good at it. That's why we keep having kids. But that's, someone told me to say that whenever someone says, you know, there's a way to stop that. And I go, I guess I'm really good at it then. I don't know. But anyway, so it's a family friendly show. We got some news to catch up on. We've been having fun with the interviews, with the McDonough's, with the Gudas's, with all this other stuff. Things have been happening, Tim, in the hockey world. Not minor things, not major things, kind of, but consequential things. The biggest unrestricted free agent on the market has signed. Finally. People have been waiting around. What is he going to do? Where is he going to go? But finally, 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 Phil Kessel has made his decision. Oh, you want me to talk about Kadri?
You got me there. You got me.
I did. Nazem Kadri finally settled. For months, I thought it was almost certain he was going back to Colorado. I just thought the longer this plays out, the better the chance are he's going back to Colorado. Just because why wouldn't you sign early? Why wouldn't you just find a team and go boom, boom, boom? It just made sense to me. It's like, okay, he's still shopping, but Colorado's always there. Well, he pulled a fast one. He wasn't signing with the Islanders like everybody thought. He wasn't going back to Colorado like everybody thought. He signed with the Calgary Flames, a team that he nixed to trade to when he was with the Toronto Maple Leafs, the team that he did not want to go to. He finally gave in. He said, I'm going to sign there 7 years, $7 million. That's not a small number. It's still a very big number. He's making $49 million over 7 years. That's a big life-changing, life-altering number. But for Nazem Kadri going into free agency, having a career year, winning a Stanley Cup, being a very huge cog with that Colorado Avalanche team, what number do you think he was expecting, Tim, going into free agency?
I bet he was looking for nine and change. And so I wonder if it was a term or what. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't, like you said, it's not a small number. It's not, like, way below what I would have thought. But it's probably about what he's worth, which is strange. You never see that with an unrestricted free agent entering his prime, coming off a Stanley Cup contender. You never see a guy like that get it paid exactly what he's worth.
And I think the GMs knew that. I think this was a red herring. When you look at Kadri's numbers from his first 9 years in the league, from 2013 to 2021, he never produced more than 61 points in an 82-game schedule, which is not a lot of points for a first-round, first-line player. 61 points, that's not cutting it. Then all of a sudden last year, he went bonkers, and if he were to play a full season, he's on pace for 100 points. Now, which Kadri are you getting? Are you getting the guy who's, you know, good for 50 to 60 points consistently, good on the PK, good in the faceoff dot, just a hard-nosed player? Or are you getting the guy who is putting up 100 points a season, who's brings all those other intangibles along with him, and is just a complete player? Very similar to a Matthew Tkachuk. But I think Matthew's younger. He's faster. He's more aggressive. But Kadri's right there. Which player are you getting? So I think he sold himself as a Matthew Tkachuk type player. He's like, look, I'm a leader in the room. I finish every check. I'm in the middle of every scrum. I am a thorn in my opponent's side. But guess what? I also put up 100 points. I'm an offensively gifted player. And that's what he sold himself to all these teams, all these GMs. He went hard on this. I just won a Stanley Cup. I was the piece that the Avalanche need. And now we got it. Now I got a ring on my finger and I want to get paid for that. And all the GMs, they're thinking and they said, huh, I don't know. He's 32. He's not a young buck anymore. Kadri wanted a 7-8 year deal. He won $9 million. And I think the GMs passed. Smart, very smart by the Islanders GM, Lou Lamoriello. Very smart by all these other guys, not in Philly. I don't know who else was in on Kadri, but everybody passed. And they said, it's too much. It's too much. So we circled back with Calgary, said, what are you guys going to give me? You lost Tkachuk. You lost Gaudreau. You brought in Huberto. I will fill that Tkachuk piece. And they smartly, wisely didn't bite at the $9 million. And they still gave him seven, but they gave him 7 years. That's a long term for a guy who's turning 32 in October. This brings him to 38, 39. The contract looks nice now if he produces the same way he did last year for the next 2 or 3 years, but it's going to get old fast. He isn't going to be the same player that he is now when he's 35, 36, 37, 38. So this one will age very, very badly. But initially, for this year and the next 2 years, I think this is a great deal for Calgary. I think you're getting a guy who you can put in on that first line if you want. You can put him in on the second line if you want. He does a little bit of everything, and he's still playing at a high level. And you get him for $7 million, which is great. The cap's going to go up in a few years. Rumors are it's going to be clipping 90, maybe $100 million. We'll see how that goes once the COVID fog lifts and everything kicks back into play. But just initially, Tim, could Calgary have had a better of an offseason based on what they were facing? Their captain doesn't want to come back. Their MVP candidate doesn't want to come back. He shuns you to go to Columbus for less money. Two massive, massive just black eyes on the franchise. All of a sudden, you flip this. You bring in a Jonathan Huberto, who was as good, if not better, than a Johnny Gaudreau. You get a first-round draft pick, and now you sign as a Nazem Kadri. And then you bring in a Mackenzie Weegar, too, with that Florida trade, who was a very good defenseman, adding to an already solid decor there in Calgary. Is Brad Traveling coming out looking like smelling like roses after he just fell in the poop house? Because this is what do you think of this whole situation in Calgary going on?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, given where they were, having that like a really tough loss against the Oilers, and then you kind of think, okay, their two best players want out. This team is going to spiral. And then they go and pull off that trade. We're getting a superstar who wants to leave, who's asking for a trade, and managing to bring in a Huberto and Weegar, and then signing both of them. I don't know. Has Weegar signed yet? I know Huberto did.
No, he hasn't signed long-term, but he's locked up for this year.
Okay, yeah. And then bringing in the best UFA on the market, which, yeah, maybe his numbers were a little bit inflated coming off, you know, a record year with the best team in the league. You got to think that playing with Makar and MacKinnon on that power play, like, yeah, maybe he's not 87 and 60 games type of talent, but he's very good and he's been very good for a long time. He's also a guy that has a track record of performing in the playoffs when he's not being suspended or hurt, which has not been an issue, but he seemed to have kicked that as well. You've seen him mature the last couple of years. So yeah, there's both great teams. I think Calgary is made a really good situation out of a tough one. Are they better than last year? Do you think, would you rather have, for this coming season, would you rather have Kadri and Huberto or Tkachuk and Gaudreau?
Well, it's interesting. Their starting goaltender, Jacob Markstrom, really made an interesting comment when he was being interviewed after all these trades. He outright said, we're a better team than last year, which is a pretty bold thing to say.
Gouda said the same thing last week, the other day.
Right. Yeah, what are they going to say? Are they going to say we're a worse team? Right. I don't expect them to say that, but I think a politically correct answer, not ruffling any feathers, would be we have to wait to see. We don't know how these guys are going to fit in, but we have a good team. We're excited to get started with the season. For Markstrom to outright say, yeah, we're better than last year, that's a pretty bold take, and I think he's right. I really do. I think going into this playoffs, when you look at the teams that they're going to face in that Pacific Division, in that Western Conference, yes, Gaudreau and Tkachuk were good. I think Huberto was better than both of those players. I don't think he has gotten the accolades that he deserves. Jonathan Huberdeau is a very high-end, grade-A talent. And I think Nazem Kadri will continue this little blip he had on the radar last year. You put him with good players. If you put him with Lindholm, if you put him with Huberdeau, this guy's going to light it up. He's a good player. And then the big addition, the Uyghur, it gives you the flexibility to maybe move a guy in the back end. You have six solid, solid NHL caliber defensemen patrolling that back end. I think they're a better team this year. You lost two high-end players, you bring in three. Simple addition means you're doing pretty well. And then it begs the question, are they the best team in the Pacific Division? We know Vegas is going to retool. They're going to be back. Everybody will be healthy. They'll be a better team. Anaheim added Klingberg. LA, San Jose, Seattle, adding some pieces. They brought in Bjorkstrand, but they're still trying to figure things out. The Vancouver Canucks, massive question marks surrounding that whole franchise. We talked to JT Miller. We don't know if he's even going to be wearing a Canucks jersey at the start of the season. He doesn't know. But they have the talent. They have the potential. Interprovincial rival, Edmonton Oilers. I think they have killed this offseason. Looking at this division, Tim, I said it was the dumpster fire of the NHL last year. Two teams have drastically improved in my eyes. Calgary has gotten better. Edmonton, I believe, has gotten a lot better in this offseason. Who's going to win this division? Last year, it was clear-cut. Vegas is going to take it. They faltered. Who do you see taking this division this year? And is it still the redheaded stepchild of the NHL?
Yeah, maybe compared to other divisions. But I think it's stronger than you personally give it credit for. And I still think that, until proven otherwise, the Oilers are still the cream of the crop here. The way that they beat the Flames in the playoffs last year, when you have that talent up front, when you bring in those secondary pieces, like they brought back Evander Kane, they've got these big contracts lined up. There's not a lot of like wiggle room or mobility they have. Like, they have a team they have at this point. There's nothing they're going to be able to do much like the deadline or that sort of thing. I know there's some whispers of some major trades potentially in the talks. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But I think until we've proven otherwise, this is still the best team in the division.
You think Edmonton is?
Yes.
I think Calgary is right now. At this point today, I think if you line them up, you play seven games, I think Calgary wins that series in six or seven. I just think they have more depth on the back end. I think their goaltender is still better in Markstrom, even though they brought in Campbell. He's a really good goaltender. I like Jack Campbell. I think Markstrom is better. I think Edmonton, as everybody knows, they have the higher end talent, but I do think Calgary is overall top to bottom a better team, but it wouldn't surprise me if Edmonton wins in seven. This is going to be a great rivalry this year just because they're so evenly matched. Now, the offseason isn't over yet. We've heard rumblings of a trade to be made. Let's get to that right now. Patrick Kane, the elephant in the room. He wants out of Chicago. He wants out in a bad way. He's made it known. I'm sure he's talked to the GM there in Chicago. I'm sure his agent's having conversations with them and other teams around the league. He wants out. He has a very small list of teams that he wants to go to. Rumors are flying around that Toronto's on that list. Toronto's going to get him. Same with the Edmonton Oilers. What are you hearing, Tim? You're an insider for both of these teams. You get around to Canada. You're an insider for Vancouver. Now, Oilers and Toronto are no-brainers. You're locked in with those markets. Where do you think Patty Kane's going to go? And which team will he have a bigger impact on, more importantly?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Patrick Kane's name has been floated around, even going back to this most recent trade deadline, where any team that's in contention, I'm sure, was making that phone call. I'm sure the asking price was high, and rightfully so. Now he's entering a contract season. He's got one more year. I think he's making $10 million. And so you would expect that if they move him, they would probably have to eat some of that salary cap for any contending team to fit him under their own salary cap. As far as these two teams, like those are the two front runners in terms of the rumors and the reports, rumblings, who knows how much credibility there is to it. But if guys like Frank and Daily Faceoff are reporting on it, there's probably something there. But the big question you got to ask is like, what piece do you have to move in order to bring him in? Like, are the Maple Leafs, so for example, and assuming that they want to sign him, if you can sign Patrick Kane for 3-4 years, or whatever, would you move a Nylander or a Marner and able to bring him in? You get a little bit better, even though you're getting 8, 7, 9, whatever years older. Like, is that worth it at that point? And same, you could say the same thing for the Oilers. I don't know who's making that deal, but I don't know how you make it work without moving a piece like that, not just for value, but like cap space, like I said. And like, they'd love to move it to Tavares in order to bring Patrick Kane in, but no one's taking that contract either. So that's kind of the, it's hard to see. You look at the cap friendly and the math, it's hard to see how either of those teams could make that deal work.
With a Patrick Kane, you make it work. You find a way, and I think the way you make it work, if you're one of those two teams, Edmonton or Toronto, you package together a lower-end player who makes $1 or $2 million, a first-round draft pick, and you get Chicago to eat $8 million of Patrick Kane's salary. And so you're getting Patrick Kane coming to your team for 1 year, and he only makes like $1 million. Because right now, Patty Kane pulls in, like you said, $10 million. So you make this work, and this is your guy. This is the guy who will put your team over that hump. Like, Patrick Kane is still an elite player. Even though he's 33 years old, he's got a lot of miles on him. He will instantly, unless he's going to Edmonton, he will be your best player. If he goes to Toronto, he's Toronto's best player. He's better than Austin Matthews, in my mind. I think he does more. Austin Matthews is a super, superstar. Don't get me wrong. The guy is unbelievable. I think Patty Kane is better than he is. At this point, he's still out of this world. He put up points the last 2 or 3 years playing with essentially nobody. He had line mates shifting all over the place. Oh, DeBrincat is fantastic. Let's see what DeBrincat does in Ottawa this year. Let's just pump the brakes on that. Alex is a good player. We've gotten this conversation before. I'd be surprised if he puts up 25 goals in Ottawa. Let's just leave it at that.
25?
25.
Oh.
Tim, okay. Patty Kane is a premier player. He made Brandon Saad better. He made Alex DeBrincat better. Dylan Strome better. Kubalik better. All these players, Patty Kane took them along for the ride, and he gifts them goals every single game. You put him in Toronto, it's amazing what he'll do. Put him with those snipers. I think the biggest impact he has, if he goes to one of those teams, if he goes to Edmonton, you can mark them in for a Stanley Cup Finals. That's how big of an impact he will make at Edmonton. Because when you look at Edmonton's lineup right now, their defense is the weakest part of their team. Everybody knows that. They're suspect. When you're penciling in Cody Ceci and Darnell Nurse as your 1-2, that's not good. So we all know that they're going to give up 3-4 goals a game. When you can roll out a lineup, just say we get Patty Kane, maybe we give up a Ryan McLeod, or we have to give up a Ryan or a Fogel or a Devin Shore, or even a Polviari. I'd be okay with giving up any of those guys with a first rounder, and then Chicago eats some cap space. If your second line, assuming the first line's Hyman, McDavid, and Vander Kane, which they were great in the playoffs and they clicked right away, and they were just, everything worked with that line. So you don't want to touch that line. If your second line is Draisaitl, Vander Kane, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, that's insane. Or excuse me, Patrick Kane. Did I say Vander? Patrick Kane.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane. That would be absolutely bonkers if that's your second line. That would be 85% of the league's first line by far. So if you could roll out those two lines and still have the luxury of having a Kaylor Yamamoto playing on the third line with the Warren Fogle, Matthias Janmark, that's a really good third line. Then you have your check-in line with Derek Ryan, Devin Shore, or Ryan McLeod, or Matthias Janmark. Those sorts of players, that's a dangerous lineup. I don't care who your defense is. If you can roll out that group of forwards, you're going to be pressuring every single night. You're going to put up 6 goals. You're going to make the Florida Panthers last year look like they don't know how to score goals. That's so dangerous. So for me, the biggest impact, he makes the Edmonton Oilers so incredibly dangerous. If he goes to Toronto, he will improve them. I don't think he makes them as good as he makes the Edmonton Oilers. You know what I mean? Because Toronto already has two really, really strong top two lines. I think he does bump them up a little bit. But the difference between him and a Nylander, or him at Tavares, or him and these players isn't as great as between him and a Yamamoto. Like, he's light years better than a Yamamoto. So I don't know. It's pretty – sorry, my kids are just interrupting. Girls, what do you want? Eleanor wants to come in. Sorry, everybody. I'm not at my office today. I'm at the cottage up in Northport. So they're here. But I'm excited to see. Do you think Kane gets traded, Tim, before the start of the season, or is this going to be a deadline deal?
Yeah, I don't think he gets traded before the start of the season. Teams just tend to be so much just careful, and they want to see what happens. And like you said, for Patrick Kane, you go out and make it work. So maybe they're a little more aggressive than they usually are, but these things tend not to be as exciting as we think they're going to be. So I think the Blackhawks hold the card. They're going to wait and see until the perfect deal comes along. And gosh, I hope he gets moved, because it's so, the idea of him playing with Matthews, even for 2 months after the playoff deadline or the trade deadline, or McDavid or one of these other teams, is just so much fun to think about. So the other part thing is, where does he want to be? Because his contract is expiring. Does he want to go to Buffalo to be at his hometown team? Does he want to go to a contender? He's got 3 cups. Like, he doesn't need to go chase the ring necessarily. 33 years old. He's got still some big years left in him. What does he want out of all this? And where do you think he wants to go?
Well, he's got a full no move clause. So he controls exactly where he goes. Like, he can accept or nix any trade out there. I don't think he goes to a Buffalo. I don't think he goes to a non-contender. Patty wants to win. He's a competitor. He wants to go to somewhere where he knows he can play in the playoffs, win a Stanley Cup. So for anybody who's thinking, well, he's going to go and enjoy it in Arizona, he's going to go to California, he's going to go to Buffalo. No, maybe next year when he can cash in and really sign a huge contract, if he wants to, you know, play away his last remaining years in Buffalo. I don't see that happening. I think he's going to want to go to a contender, and he's going to want to go to a big market. Patty has a flair for the dramatics. He wants to play. He wants to go deep in the playoffs. So he's going to go to a team that already has Stanley Cup aspirations. And there's very few of those teams. And he will nix every other trade. He's not going to do Chicago a favor. Chicago has not done him any favors in the last 5 years. They have done nothing but gut this team every single year. Last year, they did a little blip and they signed Fleury. They brought in some Seth Jones. Didn't work out. But before that, you have to remember, they were hemorrhaging players left and right. They did nothing to help Kane. They did nothing to help Taves. So he is going to go somewhere where he feels comfortable. And if I'm the GM, Kyle Davidson in Chicago, is he the GM or is he the coach? I can't remember. Davidson's
he's
the GM.
GM. Yeah.
I'm trading right now. I think his value is as high as it's going to be right now. Because any team acquiring Kane at the deadline knows it'll be for 2 months. He's not going to re-sign a deal. He's going to go into free agency and he's going to field some offers and play the field. His value is the highest right now. Same with JT Miller. Trade these guys right now. I don't think the deals will get any sweeter the longer you make, because teams want to have a full season with these guys. They want to get to know these guys and just to have them acclimated with their team. So I don't know why GMs take that risk and say, we're going to wait until the trade deadline and we're going to see. What if there's no offers? What if there's no money to go around? What if I just don't like that. Cash in now. Trade him now. Get a first rounder now. Look what Sean Monahan just went for. Calgary needed to dump a salary in order to sign Kadri. They traded Sean Monahan, but they had to give up a first rounder with him. It's a huge win. You're dumping Sean Monahan, who still has some value, and you package a first rounder with it. It was a masterclass by Ottawa getting Sean Monahan. Now they get another first rounder, and then you could flip Sean Monahan at the deadline if you need be. So, man, like, people are giving away first rounders left and right. So if you're the Chicago Blackhawks, you got 2 first rounders from the Hagel trade. Ship Patrick Kane out. Ship him out, because we all know what the real deal is here. It's for the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. We haven't seen anything like this since the Jack Eichel, Connor McDavid sweepstakes back in 2000. I don't know what it was, 13 or whatever.
15.
Yeah. 15. People were tanking. The Sabres were tanking. The Oilers were tanking. Teams were actively trading away all their players to try to get those two guys. We're seeing it again right now. Chicago is in full-fledged tank mode, and they want Connor Bedard. Is there any other teams, Tim, that you can see who are even close to being as bad as the Chicago Blackhawks are going to be this year? Because you have to assume they're losing Kane. They brought in next to nobody. Yes, they brought in some decent pieces who they'll flip at the deadline, but...
When you book as an Expedia member, you get a discount now and points toward your next trip too. Because traveling is more than just booking. It's looking, paddling, mooching, strolling, haggling, frolicking, meandering, exploring, learning, and even some relaxing, if you like. Whatever you do, you'll earn points towards that next trip. So you can keep thinking, where next? Use the Expedia app and get a discount plus points on travel. Rewards terms apply. See site for details. Discounts on select hotels and trips. Points awarded on qualifying trips.
I wonder what you would do if you had the power to dream any dream you wanted to dream. You would start out by fulfilling all your wishes. Love affairs, banquets, wonderful journeys.
Isn't it time you stopped dreaming and sailed with Cunard? The Fine Line. Visit Cunard.com to discover more.
Who else is there that as bad as are going to be the Chicago Blackhawks?
Yeah, it's the usual suspects. You got the Arizona Coyotes, which, hey, do you see their new East Coast League affiliate is playing in an arena three times the size of theirs?
It's insane. Every time they do a release, the name of the arena is Mullet Arena.
Yeah.
It's a big owner or donor, excuse me, for the Arizona State University. They're a complete joke.
Yeah.
A complete joke. Yeah, when your East Coast team has a better, larger rink than your NHL team, it's just like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Don't quote me, but this whole arena they want to get built in Tempe will never happen. It'll never come to fruition. I know people keep saying, oh, we bought the land. We're going to negotiate with this and that. Just wait. It'll keep getting pushed back, pushed back, pushed back. Next thing you know, they'll be playing at ASU for 4 years, and maybe there'll be a shovel in the ground. But that doesn't mean the rink's going to get done. They need to get this team out of Arizona. Yesterday, this team has done nothing but hemorrhage money. They're just an eyesore on escrow every single year. When you look at the escrow numbers, some teams lose money. Nashville always loses money. Carolina is starting to make some lately. These teams in the South, they don't do very well. And then there's Arizona. They lose so much money every single year. It's insane how much money they lose. So get them out of Arizona. Escrow won't be at 20%. It'll be at 15%. That's a ton. The players don't want to have a team there. But anyways, go ahead. Talking about Arizona.
The Coyotes will be among the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. Obviously, the Kraken. Then you got teams that we think are on the up and up, but sometimes they still disappoint. The Flyers, the Devils, the Sabres.
The Flyers.
You want those teams. Like you kind of think they're a tier above the bottom teams, but every year, two or three of these guys are still sucked back down. So, I don't know. There could be a surprise team. The Islanders take that next step, or are they going to be a bottom-dwelling team again too?
They'll be a bottom dweller. But listen, based on these teams, let's talk about like Chicago, Arizona, Seattle, Islanders, Devils. These teams were all bad last year. Where is the best spot for a Bedard? We saw how McDavid transformed Edmonton. They struggled, even though they had Yakupov, they had Nugent Hopkins, they had Taylor Hall. They still stunk. McDavid has made them relevant again. We saw how Ovi landed in Washington, completely transformed the franchise. Same thing with Crosby in Pittsburgh. They were looking to move the team in Pittsburgh. Crosby came in, transformed everything. Lemieux was an owner. He said, we're not going anywhere. Next thing you know, they're one of the most successful franchises in all of the NHL now. Do you see him going to a spot and doing that to a franchise? And if so, where is the best spot for him, Tim, to go to?
I mean, there's so many answers to that question. Like, which team could use him the most, or where does he want to go, and where does Bettman want him to go? Like, will you have like the freezing cold like index card in the hat so they know which one to pick? Like that whole thing. So I don't know. How would you answer that?
If you're Gary Bettman and you want to grow the game, where do you want Connor Bedard to go?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah, even though they've already had their run, like. That's a big city team. Like that's an original six franchise. When they're a good team, when they're better, when they're competitive, when they have superstars, the league is better off for it. But then the problem is nothing really changes. The bad teams are still bad. The irrelevant cities are still irrelevant. And so I don't know which kind of angle do you take with that?
I think I want him to go. If I'm Gary Bettman, I want him in Seattle. Just put a franchise there. Just got Shane Wright, who everybody thought was going to be the number one overall pick. Leading up to the draft, he fell to their lap at number three.
I think.
Four, five, whatever it was. They got Shane Wright. I want him to go to Seattle. I want to make that team relevant. I want them to win some games. I want people to fall in love with the Seattle Kraken. Me personally, as a fan, I want him to go to a team that's been struggling. I want him to go to the Buffalo Sabres. The Jack Eichel experiment didn't work. They have some good young players. They got Owen Powers, Rasmus Dahlin. They got some good forwards who are ready to take that next step. Imagine interjecting a Connor Bedard, a small, fast, dynamic forward to play with those guys. I think he would be great in Buffalo. Buffalo is a fan base starving for success. You talk about that with the Philadelphia Flyers. Well, they want to win. They want to win. Philly went to a Stanley Cup Finals in 2010. The Sabres have been nowhere near a Stanley Cup Finals, an Eastern Conference Finals, an Eastern Conference Semifinals, an Eastern Conference Quarterfinals, for Pete's sake, for the last decade and a half. They want a winner in Buffalo. They have it in the Buffalo Bills, who are going to win the Super Bowl this year, by the way. Put your money on them. Get it on early, because the odds are going to slowly just shrink to even money. The Sabres want a winner. The fans, that's a hockey town. They want to have a winner there. They haven't had it in a long time. They thought they had it when they had Eichel. They brought in, Skinner. They brought in Stahl. They brought in Okposo. They were making a run for it, and then they stunk. This kid could make a difference in Buffalo. That's where I wish they go. I think he goes to Seattle. I don't care. I hope he makes a difference. I don't think he's going to be the next McDavid. I think this kid – I still don't buy into the small players. Is that just me being a bigism where I'm just like, I just don't trust him? I don't know. I think he's going to get hurt.
It will be interesting to see how transparent the tank efforts will get as the season goes on, where guys start going on LTIR or guys get traded, or, you know, teams are obviously trying to lose, where they would way rather have get Bedard and, you know, get the negative press now in order to get a guy that can completely change your franchise like that. Sort of like what we talked about earlier, what Chicago's done all summer with the moves they've made. It's pretty transparent what they're doing. So I wonder, like, how visible that will become over the course of a season.
Well, I think it's hard. Like, I think San Jose is trying to tank. They're trying to get rid of everybody. They just can't. Nobody wants to take anybody. Yeah. Chicago's trying to trade Seth Jones for Pete's sake. They just signed him last year to a monster deal. So Chicago's shown their cards. But I think you'll see this as the season progresses, as we get a month into the season and teams just – it hits them. It's like, we're a bad team. We need to start losing, and we need to start losing fast. We want the best odds for Connor Bedard. Teams will start to lose. They'll start to trade players. They'll start to LTIR, sending guys down to the minors, just losing. And there's a very artful way to go about it. Chicago is not doing it artfully. They're letting everybody know, we're going to be bad this year. We didn't re-sign two high-end forwards. We're trading everybody. Everything must go. We're going for Bedard. Good for them. I think that's great. Why try to hide it? Why try to be a relevant team? Why try to be a mediocre team who sits around the 500 mark and you don't have – it does you nothing in the long run. Maybe it makes the fans happy for a year. It's like, oh, you know, we're still competing. We still want to win every game. If I'm a fan, I don't care. Tank. Tank, baby. Get a Connor Bedard. Then your franchise can turn around. Then you're set up for years of success. So – if I'm Connor Bedard, what I'm doing is I'm going on DoorDash. I'm listening to this podcast, which I know he does. Get on DoorDash, whether it's your phone, your app, your computer, your tablet, whatever, smoke signals, I don't care. Get yourself some food. Get yourself some protein. Tim, still a protein diet. The guy looks like Brock Lesnar, for Pete's sake. He's bulging out of everywhere. Of all the protein he gets from DoorDash, and guess what? If you use DoorDash, use our promo code, Connor, GlovesDD. If you're in Canada... and I know he is. GlovesDDUS. If you're in the US of A, you get 25% off. You get free delivery. You can get grocery stores DoorDash. You can get restaurants DoorDash. You can go to a gas station DoorDash. You could probably even do it for a farmer's market in the bigger cities. So use DoorDash. Use our promo code. Get yourself some food. Get it while you want it. If you want it hot, you'll get it hot. You want it cold, you get it hot. Get it cold. Bing, bang, boom. DoorDash at your door. And you get a discount. It's a win-win, Tim. Everybody's happy. And we're happy most off because we know you guys get some good, delicious food. DoorDash, everybody. Check it out now. What else are we talking about, Tim?
Well, every summer, there's always teams that are, or fan bases that are frustrated with their team, with their GM, with the direction the franchise is headed. It's always half the teams are upset, half the teams are fine. There's one franchise that is particularly frustrated with the summer, with the action or lack of action and activity by their GM, by the team. And that's the New York Islanders. For a team, like, 2 years ago, they were earmarked for a Stanley Cup. Last year, they weren't even sniffing a playoff spot the entire season. And you'd think they would make some adjustments and try to, like, retool this and get back on the right track. And they haven't done a single thing this summer. They missed out on Gaudreau and Huberdeau, Kadri, Tkachuk. Like, these superstars were all available. JT Miller's still out there. And they haven't even... they missed out on all the pieces there. All the franchise-altering, like, getting back on track type moves. And the Islanders fans are very, very frustrated with Lou Lamoriello. What do you see? Like, what's your take on this whole thing happening on the island?
Well, it's what Lou Lamoriello does. This is his MO. And I think people have been just clouded, thinking this guy is a genius. He was inducted into Hockey Hall of Fame. He won those Stanley Cups with the New Jersey Devils. And then ever since then, people just, this guy can do nothing wrong. But you look at what he's done since those Stanley Cups. Every team he goes to, he just absolutely tanks. He drove the Devils into the ground after those Stanley Cups, goes to Toronto, a part of this brand new regime, him and Brendan Shanahan. They're going to turn the whole city around. It's going to be fantastic. We bring in Mike Babcock. just an epic failure. Epic. Goes to the New York Islanders, a very good team. Does absolutely nothing. Slowly drives this team into the dumpsters, where if you're looking at this franchise, you're like, where do we go? We have nobody in the prospects pool. We have no good young players. Everybody we have is old on a bad contract. And last year, by the way, we didn't make the playoffs because we were just garbage. And this is what he does to every team. So I think people are starting to wise up with Lou Lamoriello. And it all came to a front this offseason when there were so many good free agents. He had his choice. He had a decent amount of money to choose. And he had all these players to pick from because not a lot of teams had a lot of cap space. And he did nothing. He didn't sign anybody, Tim. Not one player. Like, not one. Not one. Everybody thought he had these guys in his back pocket and he was going to release all the contracts like he did last year. Oh, we got a Parisi. We got a Palmieri. We got this. Nobody. Nobody's going to the New York Islanders. The fan base, rightfully so, is calling for his head. This guy has driven this franchise, a once promising franchise, went to two straight Eastern Conference finals. They're garbage. He's going to probably go out and re-sign Chara. He's going to re-sign Andy Green. And then that'll be his big, big blowout of the offseason, bringing those two guys back. He has a historical fashion of just signing veterans, bringing them in, hoping to keep his culture. He's a very thumb on the players type GM where he wants things done his way. And he doesn't like young guys coming in who are flashy, who are fancy, who want to show off in his eyes and change his culture. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work these days. You can't win without having one or two or three young guys on a good contract to kind of buttress up the older guys who you have to pay. And I think everybody's just noticing it now. Lou Lamoriello, he's too old. His way of thinking doesn't work for today's age as a GM. It just doesn't work. Going out, finding those veterans, and just trying to milk the last few years of talent out of them, you can't build a team that way. And I think fans are seeing it. He doesn't get another job in the NHL. I'm surprised he still has a job with the Islanders. I think people just keep him around just because of his legacy. But I don't want to call it embarrassing, but it is. You're a GM in the NHL. And when you look at, I saw someone wrote an article or tweeted out or something where his total signings for the New York Islanders for his whole tenure there, he signed Varlamov, bad contract. He signed Leo Komarov, had to buy him out. And then there was one lower end guy who was up and down from the AHL to the NHL. Those three guys are the only three people he signed his whole tenure. Yes, he's traded for a couple guys. But other than that, even the guys he's traded for, he's given up first rounders. He doesn't have good success in the draft. He always trades his first rounders. Can we say he's not a good GM? Is that okay to say?
It's crazy because I'm looking at their roster from 5 years ago and it's almost exactly the same other than Tavares being gone. But like, I don't know that any lineup has changed less over this last several years in the Islanders. It's like the exact same group, the Barzal, Bailey, Lee, Beauvillier, Nelson, Pulak, Pelech, Cutterbuck, Cizikas. Like these guys were all here 5 years ago and you probably did back even further than that. The big question I have looking at this roster, you're entering a contract season for Matthew Barzal. He's making $7 million right now. He is not really – he came onto the scene very hot his rookie year, and he's been pretty good. He was good in the playoffs for a stretch, 85 points his second year, really his rookie year. But last couple of years has been pretty good. Like, he's a good player, but he hasn't touched 20 goals again. He hasn't touched even close to a point per game. Are we seeing the real Barzal? Is this a factor of him just not getting surrounded by the right talent, maybe a little demotivated by, you know, the team's performance? Is he a legit? Is he the guy somewhere? Can he go and be a franchise player, or is he more of like a secondary piece at this point?
He's not a franchise guy. I don't think he's that guy. I think he doesn't have enough skills in his tool belt to be a franchise guy. You know what I mean? He's a burner. He can get up and down the ice. Like, that's what he's really good at. I don't see him being as good as the other franchise players you see around the league. I don't think his playmaking ability is up to par. I don't think he's big enough to be a power forward. I don't think he's that good on the defensive end to be like a lockdown Patrice Bergeron type of player. I think he's a burner. He can get up and down the ice and he's got speed for days, but I don't think he is a franchise guy that I'm going to hitch my cart to and say, lead me to a Stanley Cup. I think there's a handful of those guys in the NHL. He's not one of them. He's still a great player, but I don't think, gosh, what's the number that you'd give a Matthew Barzal? He's going to be a UFA this year. like you said, he came out of the gates just on fire, but he slowly but surely kind of come down to earth. What are his stats look like, Tim, in his career? Give me his numbers. Let's try to figure out a good contract for this guy, because he will get paid based on his reputation. But what do his numbers look like?
Yeah, his rookie year, 17-18, he had 22 goals, 85 points. And then the next year, 82 games, 62 points. 68 games, 60 points. 55 games, 45 points. And last year, 73 games, 59 points. So basically, except for his rookie year, he's a 60 to 65 point player. Good player. You need those guys. But he's borderline not a top line guy on half the teams in the league, based on like the points he's putting up. And like you said, he doesn't pitch in a lot of other stuff. He's not like a liability out there, but he's not going to be a leading penalty killer. He's not going to be a leading shot blocker. He's a skill guy who doesn't have enough skill to be the number one player, like you said. So
yeah, he makes $7 million this year, so he will want a raise. That's how it works. Do you want to give this player $8 million for 8 years? Because that's the term that he's going to want. He will want 7 or 8 years with the New York Islanders. Are you willing to just jeopardize your future? Because he's still young. He will be an RFA. I said he was going to be UFA. He's going to be an RFA next year. I don't know. This is an interesting situation, because the recent RFAs we've seen, they are lights out, hands down, just franchise-altering players. I don't think Barzal fits in that group. I really don't. Do I want to bet my whole future, my GM life on this guy? If I'm Lou Lamoriello, no. But do you trade him? And what return will you get? It's such an interesting, I don't know. What do you do with him, Tim? Are the Islanders going to be a good team for the next 5 years?
You know how players tend to have career seasons when they're entering a contract year, especially when they're up for a big payday. If he goes out and scores 35 and puts up 85 or 90 points, do you buy that? Would you say, okay, this is his new standard? This is his floor now? Or is that like, does that feel like an aberration at this point?
I still think
he's 25 years old.
I think he can
old.
Be a first-line guy.
I think he
can be a first-line guy. I think he can produce. If you put good wingers with him, like if you put him with Hyman and Kane, I think he does sniff 70, 80 points. But like where he stands now, he's playing with Anders Lee and Josh Bailey. You know, like those are good players. They're not Matthews. They're not those types of players. So I just don't know. I don't know what to make of Matthew Barzal. He does have the talent. Gosh, I wouldn't give up on him just yet. I do think he's good, but I don't think I'm giving him $8 million, Tim. I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be nervous too. Of all the players that you could hit your wagon to, he's not at the top of my list. The problem is he's probably the only one who's going to be available. And if you're the Islanders fan, if you're that franchise, do you want to lock him up now? Long term, or do you let him walk?
No, I want a whole reset. This whole franchise. I want Bevilier, Nelson, Palmieri, Lee, Bailey, Parisi, Gabriel Pageau. I want Matt Martin, Casey Zizekas, and Cal Clutterbuck. I want all of them gone. You're right. This whole roster has not changed at all in five, if not longer, years. It's insane. Even the back end, Mayfield, Pellick, Pollock. These guys have been here forever. The Tampa Bay Lightning have gone to 3 straight Stanley Cups. They have turnover every single year of 5 to 6 players. Every single year. And they're the best team in the NHL. Every team has turnover every single year. It's what you do. The fact that this team has had no turnover is either a testament to smart GM work, where you sign these guys and they're not going anywhere, or it's a testament to just we're lazy and we're not trying to make this team better. And we're just going with what we had. The definition of insanity. Everybody knows it. Trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different outcomes. This is what they're doing. Well, we're going to play the same team and we're going to assume they're going to, you know, build off of last year and they're going to be better. No. They're going to be bad next year. This is a bad roster right now. Bad contracts. And it's getting worse. They're getting older. Matt Martin, Casey Zizekas, and Cal Clutterbuck, they've been a line. Matt Martin left and came back. They've been aligned for, I think, 12 years.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. Yeah. I played against them when I played. And that was a long time ago. They've been aligned for a long time. So, I don't know. The Islanders, you got to get rid of Lou, and you just got to reset everything. I don't know how they're going to do it. They have a lot of guys who are signed to a lot of money for a lot of term. So good luck, Islanders fans, because you're in it. And they got a brand new arena to boot. You'd want exciting. You want fans to want to go to the rink.
Would you put them in contention for the Bedard sweepstakes? Do you think they're in that group, or do you think they're better than those teams?
No, I think they're too good to be in that sweepstakes. They will win, but then you look at the division they're in, and they have to play the Rangers, they have to play the Hurricanes, they have to play the Panthers, they play good teams. So they'll be, you know, a bubble team in the playoffs, which what good does that make you? You make the playoffs, you lose in the first round, maybe upset, lose in the second round. Who cares? Then you get a middle-of-the-road draft pick, and then here we are again. Lou Lamoriello would trade that draft pick anyway, so it doesn't matter where you are in the first round. You're not going to have that pick.
The part that fascinates me, we haven't talked about their goalies yet. They have two really good goalies,
yeah,
which is a luxury that they cannot afford. The fact that they didn't trade Varlamov at the deadline when they could have gotten like some good pieces, like there were teams that needed goalies. What are you holding on to him for? Like, if Sorokin's your guy for the future, he's a good young goalie. He's 27, but he's good. He's under a good contract. You got two more years. Maybe hold on to him, even though he's worth more. But Varlamov, what are you holding on to him for? Like, what do you need two good goalies for if you're not even a competitive team at this point? It doesn't make any sense to me.
And they're both at decent contracts. Varlamov makes 5, Sorokin makes 4, so they're not paying him tons of money. But absolutely, especially this offseason when people were clamoring for goaltenders. Even to this day, teams need goaltenders. There are vacancies out there to fill. And it's just Lou Lamoriello being stubborn. He's like, I like the way I like my goaltender tandem. Got to have two good goaltenders. If you can ship Varlamov out, get $5 million off your cap, bring in a first rounder or prospects, now you have almost $10 million to spend in free agency. Go for it, man. I don't know. No, but we got to sign Anders Lee and Brock Nelson and Josh Bailey. Oh, we got to trade for Palmieri and give up first rounders for him and sign him to a 5-year, $25 million deal. Yeah, you nuts. You nuts, man. You're doing something wrong. So the New York Islanders, they need to reset everything, like I said. Time to go. All right, let's do some quick hits and get out of here.
Yeah, quick hits brought to you by PointsBet. The first one.
Ooh, PointsBet. I love that.
You alluded to it earlier. Phil Kessel has signed the deal with the Vegas Golden Knights. 1 year, $1.5 million. What was your quick reaction when you saw this news?
Good signing for the Vegas Golden Knights. I think he fits in well there. I don't know where he slots on their lineup. I really wanted them to go to Edmonton. I really, really did. I thought he was going to fit well there. But didn't make it happen, goes to Vegas, and especially for such a low salary cap. I don't know why they didn't make that happen. But where does he slot in? Do you see him on the first line kicking Chandler Stephenson out of that spot? Now he's with Eichel and Stone, or is he going to be a third-line guy? Slot him in with like a Roy, maybe bump him up to a Marchessault line with Carlson. I just don't know where he slots in on their lineup. Is he effective as a third- and fourth-line guy, or do you have to put a Phil Kessel on a playmaking role on the first and second line?
Yeah, I think you do, because like he doesn't play defense. He's not a two-way player. He doesn't hit. He doesn't block shots. He scores goals. That's what he does. And if you don't put him in a position to score goals, what is he going to do? So like, is he not really a top six player on a good team at this point of his career? It's more of a complimentary Michael Ryder type scorer. But if he's not playing with other guys that are going to help him score goals, maybe he's just he's scoring 12, 15 goals and not moving the needle much for your team. So I think they hopefully will try to put him at least to start in a situation where like maybe he could sort of take off, or maybe he's still got some juice in the tank that, you know, people aren't seeing. It's hard to imagine that just given his age and his body and all that, but who knows, he could surprise some people. I would love for him to go off and score another 30 goals again. Like, that would be so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't think the player he wasn't bad in Arizona. He wasn't bad. He put up some points, even though his shooting percentage last year was the worst of his career. But he still was productive. He put up points. And to be honest, it's hard to get up for a team that you know doesn't want to win. And he said it right when he signed with Vegas. He said, it's going to be nice playing on a team that wants to win. You know, so he's will be motivated going into Vegas, getting out of Arizona, where nobody likes playing Arizona. I played there. It was fun. And we had a good team. We were winning. We had no right winning. We were upsetting teams left and right and kind of just playing over our skis a little bit. But those guys the last few years in Arizona have just been bad. And it's tough to play in that city when you go to the rink and there's no fans at the rink. And the only fans that go are visiting fans. And now looking at the rink that you're going to have to play into. So he'll be excited to go to Vegas. The fan base will be excited. He will get a chance. I think they're going to slot him in on the second line. put him with Carlson and Marchessault to start, like you said, and see what happens. Wouldn't surprise me if he puts up 25, 30 goals. He's good.
It reminds me a little bit of James Neal, where he's like a one-way player. He does one thing really, really well, and then all of a sudden he can just do nothing for 2 years, and then you put him in the right spot, in the right spark with some chemistry there, and he'll go off for 30 goals again out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And he's the same age, and Neal's did that a couple of years ago with Vegas in that first expansion year. And, yeah, I could see Kessel exploding in a similar way.
The opportunity's there. He will get some ice time. I like it. $1.5 million. Good signing. Very, very, very happy for Phil. Very happy he's in. I'm going to text him again. Yes, the one-sided text thread with me and Phil Kessel, I should post it on Twitter. This is just to show everybody all of my little semi-paragraphs I send him every few years. It's embarrassing. I think it's funny at this point, so I just do it for laughs. So I'm like, Phil, great, great talking to you. I'm glad you're doing well. I hope you and the family are doing. Love to have you on the show. And it is,
yeah.
He did respond once, so I know it's his number, but it's just funny. Good for Phil Kessel. You should. All right,
hey, Phil, moving on. You see the new Top Gun movie? What'd you think? All right. The Beauty League wrapped up this week, and congratulations to TRIA, or TRIA, the team TRIA, for winning the John Scott Cup. I know you were super involved with this whole thing. And a couple of good guys on that team. Eric Stahl's on that team, Jason Zucker, Nate Schmidt. And said Ryan McDonough was on that roster in paper. He wasn't in that championship photo. Maybe he ditched, but pretty cool. Good for them. And you got to get back up there, John. I know they'd love to have you up there.
Yeah, if you can get me a private jet, I'd love to. It just, I will eventually. I was there a couple of years back, but it's long overdue. Yeah, congrats to TRIA Orthopedic Center. I had surgery there for my nose, gosh, 10 years ago now. But good guys, good people. Congrats, Eric Stahl. Jason Zucker. There was a nice fight there, actually, the last game. I think Teddy Bluger got into it with a kid from Finland. They were throwing pretty heavy fights there. Don't usually see that in the offseason, but I guess Teddy had like 7 points. They're up 12-3, and this kid from Finland just said he'd had enough. He's like, enough is enough, Teddy. I'm taking you out. A couple good punches thrown. There was some blood, but it was a good thing. Good league in the summer. I think that is the best league to skate at in the summer. For NHL caliber talent, they get six teams, and each team has at least 6 to 10 guys who are in the NHL actively. And then you'll get good college guys, good high school talent. I mentioned like Brock Besser, I skated with all these young guys. Who else is the guy in Pittsburgh? Jake Gensel. I remember skating with him when he was in high school and college. So there's always good young talent. But anyways, if you're in Minnesota, check it out. It's at Bremer Arena. It's done now. Congrats to TRIA for winning the John Scott Cup.
And congrats to you guys. What? Your photos and your headshot all over their website. It's everywhere.
I don't get any money for that. You believe that? Not a dime.
Unbelievable.
People are making so much money off my back. It's crazy. All right, everybody. Enough is enough. I got to go wrangle the animals outside. I can hear them swarming. It's time to go get some lunch going. But thanks for listening. I appreciate the support. Tim, you got anything else?
No. Have a good weekend, everybody. Thank you.
Absolutely. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.
Streaming exclusively on Disney Plus.
Let's do this.
Say hello to the newest member of the Hulk family.
I'm Jennifer Walters.
I'm a lawyer who happens to be a Hulk.
In Marvel Studios' new original series, She-Hulk.
Your transformations are triggered by anger and fear.
Those are like the baseline of any woman just existing.
You're going to like her.
He doesn't mean that.
When she's angry.
Can we get some shots, please? It's an emergency.
Marvel Studios' She-Hulk, an original series now streaming exclusively on Disney Plus. 18 plus subscription required. T's and C's apply.
Gum problems can cause more problems, like bad breath and sensitive teeth, which can knock your confidence and take the enjoyment out of eating and drinking. Corsodil Gum Plus Breath and Sensitivity Toothpaste is scientifically proven to target gum problems to help protect your whole mouth. Rediscover your confidence and the food and drink you love. Try new Corsodil Gum Plus Breath and Sensitivity Toothpaste.